Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. First stanza of the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, sung by the Concordia Seminary Chorus. We're going to be looking forward to a special Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. Reformation Day being observed this coming Sunday. The day itself falls on the Monday after. But because there are also other Sunday readings, we'll be looking at some of those other Sunday readings too, a little bit different here on looking forward to Sunday morning. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, October the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest here in the first hour of the program. And since it's Reformation Week here on Issues Etc., we're going to begin our Reformation Week interviews this week's theme, Luther's Inner Circle, with early Luther and his father confessor, or so he is called, Johann von Staupitz. He was instrumental in Luther's early academic career and in some ways instrumental in his pastoral theology. He never himself joined the Reformation, so to speak. We'll be talking about him in detail with Dr. Marcus Riet, professor of church history at Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany, in hour two of Issues Etc. Now, you can join us over the course of the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, with your questions or comments. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Dr. Carl Fikencher joins us to look forward to Sunday morning, Reformation Sunday, and some other Sunday propers. He is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikencher, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd.
We are at 499 years this coming Monday on that celebration of the Reformation, October 31st. And, of course, next year will be the 500th anniversary. But there's an awful lot for Christians like us, for Lutherans in particular, to celebrate about Reformation all year round, isn't there?
Absolutely. And, you know, 499 years or very soon 500 years means that we have by no means run out of exhausting all the themes and the substance of the Reformation. As a matter of fact, Reformation is so very much to the core of what we Lutherans do in preaching, and really to the core of what Scripture teaches, to the very core of what it means to be a Christian, that there really is something defined that is, frankly, Reformation-related every Sunday. And in fact, Todd, as you alluded in the intro, that kind of leads me to what I would like to do this week. Last year for Reformation Sunday, I looked straight up at the Reformation propers, at the John chapter 8 gospel reading, for example, and that could be done year after year after year. But when I was in my parishes, frequently I would blend the Reformation propers with the propers appointed for that Sunday of the church year. For example, this coming Sunday, if it were not observed as Reformation Sunday, would be proper 26C. So it's another Sunday during the year C propers, taking us through the Gospel of Luke. And the fact of the matter is, the propers that occur on the Sundays really often have very significant comment to make on the Reformation. And the truth is, there are very good propers that would never be used if we didn't at least give them a look at the same time that we celebrate Reformation. Meanwhile, of course, it is a special delight in some parishes that there is a Reformation Day service on October 31st, whatever day of the week that it falls, in this case, a Monday, which then allows us also to look at the Sundays, the Sunday propers, proper 26C, with a very nice gospel reading, the Zacchaeus story, which, as we'll see, I think has significant relevance for Reformation Day. So what we'll do then is have Reformation Day clearly in focus. We'll be looking at Reformation Day at every comment along the way, but we'll see how some of the proper 26C lessons, readings, also have relevance to Reformation Day. We'll have that familiar Romans 3 epistle lesson, which is appointed for Reformation Day. We'll use some of the other propers for Reformation Day, but mix in several of the elements that would be for this coming Sunday. And we're going to discover, really, it really is all about Reformation. And as our Synod is emphasizing this year, that means it's still all about Jesus.
So let's talk about the intro for Reformation Day, Psalm 34, with a little bit of Psalm 119 thrown in.
Right. Psalm 119, verse 46, gives us the antiphon, which has a magnificent picture of Reformation elements, as does the rest of the introit from Psalm 34. And again, this one is the introit for Reformation Day. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The antiphon again, I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame, from Psalm 119, does definitely picture for us some major events in the Reformation history. To my mind, come both the Diet of Worms and then also the Diet at Augsburg, because in both of those cases, Luther or the followers of Luther stood before the Emperor, Charles V, and were in a position of making a confession before that king, before that emperor, which really could have cost them their lives. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. At Worms, we know that Luther was called to recant the writings that he had spread already early in his career in 1521. And at this point, there was a strong movement, as the Reformation was just beginning to gain steam, to take care of this monk up in Germany the quick and easy way, just kill him. Luther was asked to recant his writings, and most of us know the story. He was asked to give time to prayerfully consider it. He divided his writings into several kinds, some where all the church could continue to agree, and then some that were more controversial. But when he was asked for a clear answer, Dr. Luther, do you recant? He said, unless I'm shown from Scripture a clear reason, my error, how these are contrary to God's Word, I cannot. Here I stand. I can do no other. And at that moment, there were those who whispered, or more than whispered in some cases, to the emperor, let's just be done with him. Take him, burn him at the stake right now on the spot, the way others like Johann Hus had been executed in the not-too-distant past, and be done with this reformer, this crazy monk from Germany altogether. To his credit, Charles V had given Luther safe conduct, and so he did not carry out that suggestion. He let him leave. Of course, it was not long after that he outlawed him, and from that time on, Luther could have been killed by anyone at any time without repercussion. What we have then here in the psalm is a beautiful picture of this, where the psalmist knows that to speak of God's testimonies, that is, the word of the Lord, is the basis on which we should stand. We must stand even if the consequences are temporal death, even if kings, men of power in this world standing before us would have us be swept away. But the psalmist is confident, when I do that, I shall not be put to shame. It could be at loss of life, but ultimately, as St. Paul tells us in Romans, all who trust in Christ will never be put to shame. When Judgment Day comes, when we stand before the King of all, then we know we will be standing on solid ground if we've been standing with Christ and his word. Very same thing in 1530, when the princes and theologians of the Lutheran movement, Luther could not himself be there because he was outlawed, nevertheless again stood before Charles V and presented their confession, the Augsburg Confession, the first document that was accepted by all Lutherans as a summary of what we Lutherans believe. So it was came to be known as one of the Lutheran Confessions, and others like Luther's Small and Large Catechism, already existing at that time, were likewise adopted as confessional documents of all Lutherans. The princes at Augsburg recognized that they too were at risk of losing their lives. And there, the confession was very explicit. Even if you will cut off my head, I will not deny this confession, because this was faithful to God's word and proclaimed Christ Jesus. So the princes, along with Philip Melanchthon and others of the Lutheran theologians, made that testimony before kings, the testimony of God himself, and again, were not put to shame. Once again, for eternity, we can count on this. But by God's grace, also those princes, Melanchthon and Luther at Worms, were spared, and God allowed the work of the Reformation to go forward. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. We won't count on anything besides him. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. That's what we're counting on when we make that confession, even for the mightiest on earth.
The Collect for Reformation Day, what is it?
Again, this is the Collect, as you say, for Reformation Day. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. The phrase that especially jumps out to me from this collect is keep us steadfast. We remember Luther's marvelous hymn, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Former hymnal, the Lutheran hymnal, that was in the section that we identified as the Reformation section, and it expressed very, very well what the Reformation is all about. The Reformation was setting free God's word of the gospel of Christ Jesus so that people could realize God's way of salvation by justification by grace through faith, not by our works. Human beings trying to decide upon the way we might have a gracious God before us, the way we might be right in our standing before God, would always imagine that it would be by works. If we want that big God out there to love us, to receive us, well, logically that means we've got to do all the right stuff, or at least enough right stuff to make him receive us. That's the way people would conclude apart from God's word. But Lord, keep us steadfast in your word, because there and there alone we realize that you are gracious to us, that you protect and deliver us in times of temptation, that you are the one who defends us against all enemies, like those adversaries Luther and the confessors faced. And it is, of course, Christ who grants to the church his saving peace. So the Reformation Collect is a wonderful expression of the firm foundation that we have in God's word, and how remaining steadfast, immovable, standing on God's word will again never allow us to be put to shame.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest on this Monday, October the 24th. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, Reformation Sunday, with some other propers as well. We'll talk about the gradual for Reformation Day, that's Psalm 48, and get into some of those other readings as well as the readings for Reformation Day. He is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdGruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Stanza 2 of the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're looking forward to Reformation Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where they are just 2 weeks away from the 17th Annual Good Shepherd Institute Conference. That's November 6th through the 8th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. This year's theme is Lutheran Service Book at 10 Years. You can find out more at ctsfw.edu/GSI. That's ctsfw.edu/GSI. The Good Shepherd Institute Conference, November 6th, 7th, and 8th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fekencher, the gradual for Reformation Sunday is a few verses of Psalm 48.
Psalm 48, and the psalmist here is picturing the heyday of the city of Jerusalem. He speaks of Zion. But as we listen to this gradual, these words from Psalm 48, what do we picture? And I suggest it's going to be another one of those Reformation hymns. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. We already heard from one of Luther's hymns, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word, and this time I just can't avoid seeing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels. We see Zion, the psalmist pictures Jerusalem, as a place of refuge, a strong place where God was present, a place that God's people knew they were safe because they had confidence that God was with them there. Luther, of course, based on a different psalm, Psalm 46, pictures our God as a mighty fortress. And certainly that's one of the huge themes of the Reformation. Luther and the confessors, all of the reformers and followers, were opposed by the world by very strong forces. We mentioned before the emperor and his armies, and of course also the church. And it's a very, very significant influence and even military might. Luther and his followers were in danger, and it meant so much to them, as it does to us today, to know that God is our refuge and strength, that he's always caring for us. His mighty towers, ramparts, citadels, the fortress that we are in when we have our God around us. And that's a magnificent picture for us also today, when the church is certainly under attack by opposition in this world and seems likely to be more so in the first few years of the next 500 years. And then the psalmist goes on, we find strength there in the citadels of the Lord. Why? So that we may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. For almost 500 years, or 499 years and counting, God's word has been bringing Christ to the next generation, one after another after another. It's many, many generations since Luther's day, and how grateful we are that God's word has been standing clearly and firmly as a result of being set free through the Reformation, so that now in 2016 and soon in 2017, 500 years later, we also have been brought to faith. God has had us graciously in view from the time of Luther and so long before that, in fact, from all eternity, to know that he was going to preserve his word of Christ Jesus to us in our day as well. That certainly is a huge element of the Reformation. God has preserved his word and his followers so that future generations of followers would also see that word, hear that word of Christ Jesus, and receive his salvation.
For the Old Testament reading, you're going to the regular propers for this Sunday, were it not being observed as Reformation Day. What is that?
Right. Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 18 is the Old Testament lesson for Proper 26C. In other words, as you said again, Todd, if we weren't observing Reformation this Sunday, this would be the regularly appointed Old Testament lesson. But as we listen to this Old Testament lesson appointed for just a regular Sunday of the Pentecost season, it's remarkable to me how many times again and again we hear elements that bring back to mind the struggles of the Reformation and what God did as a result. Isaiah 1, 10 through 18, listen and picture, and I'll unpack in just a moment. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Isaiah is writing at a time of real turmoil among God's people. The northern kingdom of Israel is very near its final destruction. Judah is also guilty of one idolatry after another, so that Isaiah describes the rulers of Israel and Judah as the rulers of Sodom, the people of Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, we know how wicked their past was, and more than 1,000 years before Isaiah, they had already been destroyed by fire and brimstone. But very much in a way, this pictures the the anger that God has when his own church turns away. That's what Old Testament Israel and Judah were doing. His chosen people were turning away to offer vain offerings, sacrifices that were not really faithful at all. And in the time of Luther, this really did also picture the corruption of the medieval church. Tragically, the church had come to put God and his word on the back burner, replacing it instead with things of human invention that were intended to bring God's mercy, God's favor. We think of examples like indulgences, venerating relics, doing penance in all kinds of ways. Isaiah characterizes these as sacrifices or offerings that are vain. The Lord says he can't tolerate these anymore. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Anytime we seek to substitute our own inventions for ways to earn God's favor, for the one and only way that God's favor is graciously bestowed upon us, the merits of Christ Jesus on the cross, this is something that makes God angry. This is a terrible abuse. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. We remember the ritual prayers even to this day of rosaries. We remember the story of Luther going to Rome and going up the stairs, one stair after another on his knees, offering prayer at each point, reaching the top after having the assurance that this would help to spring souls from purgatory, nevertheless saying, how can one possibly be sure this is true? And he went away with that kind of discouragement. Well, of course, it wasn't true because it wasn't based on God's word. All of these ways that people try to offer something to God, to make sacrifices to God, to earn God's favor, are doomed to disappointment. In fact, they are actually blasphemy against the Lord, because God instead has a magnificent alternative that he offers us absolutely free. So come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. And here I picture Luther nailing those 95 theses, saying, come, let us reason together. Let us consider what God's word says about all these questions of things like indulgences. Let us reason together. Let us consider this. And when we consider together, reason together, even debate, as Luther called for in the 95 theses, the things that God's word sets before us, what do we discover? Well, we discover what the Lord says. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. All of your sacrifices, all of your offerings, all of your efforts to placate God's wrath, doomed to failure, but so freely I forgive your sins. As ugly as they are, as dirty as they are, I will make them as white as snow, like wool. That's the magnificent message that Luther discovered in God's word that really was the basis for the Reformation.
Psalm 130 is also not a Reformation text, but you're folding it in here as the psalm for the day.
Yes, and here again, another one of those great Reformation hymns. Psalm 130 is the basis for Luther's hymn, From Depths of Woe I Cry to Thee. Again and again, Luther knew that hymns, the hymns that he wrote and that other faithful hymn writers composed, would be a wonderful way of proclaiming the Word of God, in this case, Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Luther, of all people, knew what it was like to be in the depths of woe. Luther struggled so very, very hard to do the things the church was prescribing, to do whatever he could possibly imagine to feel that God would be gracious to him. And yet Luther knew that as hard as he struggled, the more he did, the more he labored, the more he tried to do those things the church prescribed, the less certain he was of God being gracious to him. In fact, the more he was convinced that he was doomed to eternity in hell. He knew what it meant to cry out from the depths. But how wonderful that when the gospel was revealed to him in God's holy word, when Luther came to understand the graciousness of God in Christ Jesus from his studies of Scripture, then he was able to join the psalmist crying out from those depths of woe, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord," and realize that certainly if the Lord marked iniquities, we couldn't stand anywhere. But with him, there is forgiveness. In his word is hope. Luther clung to that hope, the hope of the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus, and that was also at the very core of the Reformation.
And before we take our break, why don't you start us into probably the best summary of Reformation Day found in its epistle reading, Romans 3.
Romans 3, verses 19 through 28 is now the epistle lesson appointed for Reformation Day. And somehow, Todd, we just couldn't omit this one, could we? Romans 3, 19 through 28, I'll read it, then we can talk about it after the break. But even in its own reading, we hear those themes that are so prominent for the Reformation. St. Paul writes, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law."
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll look more at that epistle reading from Romans chapter 3. Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest, professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the 3-year lectionary, this coming Sunday is Reformation Sunday.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century.
Lord, hear us, set us in your word.
the 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Stanza 3 of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, Reformation Sunday, with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Before the break, you read through that epistle reading appointed for Reformation, Romans 3, 19 through 28. Take us into it.
St. Paul, of course, has a magnificent declaration in the book of Romans on how we are right with God. Romans, then, as a result, was one of Luther's favorite books. He loved the Psalms. He loved the book of Galatians. He lectured on these as well as the book of Romans. And it was really here in the book of Romans that Luther had his discovery that opened the doors of paradise to him, as he described it. He had struggled with the idea of the righteousness of God, as St. Paul uses that in Romans, as first assuming that the righteousness of God was always God's intrinsic righteousness, which by comparison would always show how unrighteous we were, how badly we fell short of the glory of God. But as he studied the book of Romans, he suddenly realized from Romans 1, verses 16, 17, that the righteousness of God that Paul was talking about was not this righteousness that would condemn us by terrible comparison, but rather the righteousness that God gives us by faith. And so St. Paul in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28, elaborates on this. He says, the law was given for all of us who are under the law so that we realize we are accountable to God. No question about that. We realize that we couldn't stand before God on our own. For, verse 20, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. And this, of course, put the lie to all of those things that the Roman Church at that time, at the time of Luther, was offering as ways to assure us that we had a gracious God before us, whether it was buying indulgences for money or venerating relics of the saints or doing other kinds of penance. By those works of the law, Paul says, no human being will be justified. But verse 21, now the righteousness of God, this concept that Luther had struggled with so mightily, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, apart from anything we do, though, of course, the Scriptures, the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets have been talking about this all along. But what is this righteousness? It's, verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Everybody falls short of the glory of God, but we are justified by His grace as a gift, absolutely free through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the redemption, the propitiation by his blood. That is, Christ Jesus' death on the cross, paying the price to buy us back to God. I love especially verse 26. I know I've commented on this last year as well, but I will again. All of this was to show God's righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God is just. That is to say, he is holy. He cannot tolerate sin. He can't be in the presence of sin. That's a contradiction to his nature. But he also loves us and wants to justify us. That is, he wants to provide for a way that we can be in a relationship with him, that we can stand righteously before him. And of course, God's magnificent way of resolving that was to become himself the payment, the propitiation, to become in Christ Jesus the one who would take the just punishment that we all deserve, that he would satisfy God's justice so that God could then declare us not guilty. God being both just, which he must be, that's his nature, but also the justifier by taking the punishment upon himself, so that all sins have been righteously punished. All sins have received exactly what they deserve, damnation. But that was received by Christ Jesus as a human being for human beings. And as the Son of God, the one whose sacrifice was sufficient for the sins of the whole world. So then, we can't boast. Boasting of any kind is excluded. But here we go. Verse 28, we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Certainly that is one of the hallmark phrases of the Lutheran Reformation. We are justified, we are declared righteous by God simply by believing that Jesus has done all things for us, totally apart from anything else we would do, whether it be indulgences or venerating relics or other kinds of penance or any good works that we in our day and age also might dream up.
Let's talk a little bit about the gospel reading before we take another break. This one is, you're saying we should, you're suggesting that we keep that good old Zacchaeus story for Reformation Sunday.
I believe the Zacchaeus story is a magnificent picture of the way God also worked through Martin Luther, and it'd be a shame if the Zacchaeus story was never read. Here it is, and perhaps we can do the same thing again. Let me read it, and as I'm reading it, hearers might wonder if they sense something of Luther and his story, how God worked to save Martin Luther, in the way God, through Christ Jesus, also worked to save Zacchaeus. Then we can come back and fill in those pieces. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And Jesus came to the place, and he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Dr. Carl Fekenscher is our guest. We'll talk all about that gospel reading, the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus, as we look forward to Reformation Sunday, according to the three-year lectionary, on this Monday afternoon, October the 24th. Dr. Carl Fekenscher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
Final stanza of the Battle Hymn of the Reformation, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, that Sunday morning being the observation of Reformation Sunday. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest. Folks, Luther Academy is committed to proclaiming the doctrine of justification by grace through faith alone, rediscovered during the Reformation. You can find out about this worldwide confessionally Lutheran mission outreach at lutheracademy.com. Serving Lutheran pastors and lay people to the ends of the earth, lutheracademy.com. Dr. Fakencher, you read it for us before the break, the gospel reading for the non-Reformation Sunday that you're suggesting for this Sunday, the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. What would you have to say about it?
Well, we know the story of Zacchaeus very well, and the truth of the matter is, I think it's a beautiful picture also of the way God worked through Martin Luther. We know Zacchaeus was a tax collector and he was a rich man. Luther, of course, was not a rich man, but we do remember that in his early years, he was being directed toward a law profession by his father for that very reason. The prospect was very good. Luther was a promising student. He was completing the University of Erfurt with the opportunity to become a lawyer, which would indeed have been an extremely profitable career. But Luther, like Zacchaeus, always wanted something more than that. We know that Zacchaeus had the sense that somehow being rich as a tax collector was not fully satisfying. Something was missing. And so when Jesus came to Jericho, Zacchaeus was eagerly looking to see him, to see who he was, not knowing how that might change his life, but hoping that somehow there might be something more than he had just in his financial rewards. Luther, meanwhile, was struggling to sense that God was gracious to him. His success in school and the prospect of being a prosperous lawyer was certainly not satisfying that concern. It was, of course, as a result of his fear of being lost eternally, that he left the pursuit of a law profession. We remember the story when he was nearly struck by lightning and feared that he would die very soon. The idea of being a lawyer, and a rich one, was certainly not satisfactory when he faced the prospect of an angry judge for all eternity. And so Luther was searching everywhere he could to find a gracious God, to become a monk, to become a priest, to do all the things the church was prescribing, but never being satisfied, knowing that instead his very best efforts were always still falling short of the glory of God. Zacchaeus climbs up in a tree hoping to see Jesus. Luther looking everywhere hoping to see Jesus. But of course, it's not Zacchaeus that finds Jesus, and it's certainly not Luther that finds his Savior in Jesus Christ. Our text says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus was seeking Luther. And finally, when God's time was right, God reached out and took Luther by the discovery in his holy word, the very studies from the book of Romans that we were talking about a moment ago. And suddenly now, everything was different for Luther, just as it was for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus hurried and came down from that tree, and our text says, received Jesus joyfully. Luther says, when he finally understood the gospel, that God was already gracious to him, that God was giving him Christ's righteousness by faith, he said it was as if the gates of paradise opened before him. Luther knew joy that he had never experienced before. Of course, as Zacchaeus was being received by Jesus, those around grumbled. He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And certainly Luther's troubles did not end when he realized that God was gracious to him for the sake of Christ Jesus. In fact, the Roman church more than grumbled, just as Zacchaeus, a sinner, being received by Jesus would seem to contradict everything in the Jewish system. So also, Luther's doctrine of justification by grace through faith, absolutely free, seemed to undo their penitential system. What would become of the sale of indulgences? What would become of those efforts to have man earn his own salvation? Obviously, it upset the apple cart completely. And so, just as Zacchaeus was the object of grumbling, so also Luther was the object of very, very adamant resistance by the church. But the result was nevertheless a magnificent victory by God and his kingdom. Zacchaeus stands up and he announces that he will now take his stand as a faithful follower of Christ Jesus. And that resulted in wonderful good works, restoring fourfold the things that he had perhaps defrauded in the future. Luther knew that justification by grace through faith did not undo good works, but it was the cause of good works when we realize that God has already been gracious to us. The bottom line for Zacchaeus and for Luther and for each one of us is verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Christ has done the work that man tries to do. The Son of Man came to seek and to save us who are totally unable to save ourselves. Which then, Todd, brings me to my theme for this Sunday. And again, this considers all the events of the Reformation and its propers, but also in light of these other propers for Pentecost, proper 26. Here's my theme. Through the testimonies of the Reformation, the Son of Man still comes to justify us by faith, apart from any sacrifices or offerings of our own. Through the testimonies of the Reformation, the intro it says, I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, will not be put to shame. Through all these countless generations since, those testimonies have still declared to us that Christ Jesus, the Son of Man, came to earth to save us, to justify us, doing all the work for us, which we simply receive by faith, apart from any of those sacrifices that Isaiah and our psalm described that would always be fruitless in our attempts to justify ourselves before God. The great good news of the Reformation is that we don't have to, that Christ has already justified us by his shedding his blood. Though our sins would be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, because Jesus shed his red blood on the cross for us.
Dr. Carl Fakencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
This week is Reformation Week here at Issues Etc. On this Monday afternoon, October the 24th, we kick off Reformation Week programming. In the second hour of the program, the theme for the week is Luther's Inner Circle. We're going to be talking about Luther's father confessor, or so he's supposed to be, Johann von Staupitz, with Dr. Marcus Riet, professor of church history at Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany, right after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.